The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
As I'm preparing to go into another series, how many of you like series? I've been known to do that a few times. But the Lord had stopped me and he's like, hey, you got to go here first. And I thought, okay. And part of this series is called Counting the Cost. There's a cost that each one of us will be exposed to that you're going to have to make a choice. There's a cost to this life that we live. And as we get into Scripture, some of you may see this morning, you'll be like, wow. Some of you will be like, man, this is kind of tough. Some of this will be, this is exactly what I need. On Sunday nights, pastors teaching us the end times, revealing things that can bless you. It's a cost. It's a sacrifice. But if you can work it out, Wednesdays, if you can work it out. Some of us have to work. We have things. Getting here early on Sunday mornings, intercessory prayer, if you can work it out. There's a cost, you see. There's a cost that it took to feed all of us this afternoon. Somebody paid a cost for us, the love for us. The teaching Sunday night of learning the Word, and some of us have already found out that there's a mixture of things that have been taught that I have to unlearn. Let me tell you, it's much easier to learn than it is to unlearn. Amen? It's very, very challenging. And let me tell you, you're with a pastor that loves you enough to care for you, to help you through it. Because even myself have struggled at times to navigate the waters, because the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth. What happens for you and I and all the purple that you see next to you of the people that get offended or get bumpy or have to relearn something? Amen? So I want to encourage you before we get in the Word and go live all over. Maybe we already are, but no? Okay. Because we love the people broadcasting, but let me tell you, you paid a price this morning and made a sacrifice, maybe, to get here and be here, and we appreciate you. We love you. There are things that even pastors go through in the mornings before we get here. There's a distraction that tries to take place every week as we get in the Word. There's a distraction that takes place every morning before you decide, for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, I'm going to rejoice and go to church. And then look what happens. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But let me tell you, praise God for each one of you. As you hear the Word of God, you'll hear some of this maybe a little bit, but you're also going to hear the what's on my heart, because you are on our hearts. I will fail. I will make mistakes. But know this, that in the prayer time is you. You may not see it. You may not think it. You may not know it. But as I'm sitting in my chair yesterday for hours or doing different things, and I was running my grill and doing different things, but I was back in the Word thinking about you as the Lord was pouring out for you. The Word is not to bring you down. The Word is to bring you up to new levels. Amen? Let's go into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for what we felt here. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for those that are watching on the broadcast this morning. Those that couldn't make it, Lord, would you help them get here? Lord, for those that want to be here, Lord, would you open up paths for that they could be here? Lord, for those that are in rebellion or in fear and in doubt, Lord, would you mend that? Would you fix that? Would you help them that they may be encouraged and lifted up in the Word? Those with excuses, Lord, would you remove the excuse? Would you remove the excuses of their lives so that they may serve you wholeheartedly? and the doubt and the fear. Would you remove that, Lord? Would you have your way today, Lord? Let it be all of you and none of me as we get into your word. And bless your people today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Let's give a hand clap of praise to the Lord. Let's welcome those on the broadcast. We're grateful that they're here, and we're grateful that you're here, because we're going to get some spiritual food this morning. We're going to get some natural food this afternoon. And those that couldn't be here, we will end up being ones that show them how good it is here at the river when we're buffeting our bodies later on, enjoying ourselves. And I hope that those are watching, you're here in Warsaw, you got a couple hours, come on in and get yourself some yummy food. Amen. Because we're blessed here at the river. Amen. We're not about programs. We're not about buildings. We're about the people. That's what we've been telling people. We've tried to tell people that, but they just don't seem to get it. So we have to show them. Amen. We tell them and tell them. So it just comes to the point where we just got to show them. And I was blessed this morning. Some people showed their care for me, and I was showing my care for them. And this morning we've already got to pray for some people. We've been blessed. The Lord's already moving. And he's here. And you know, we've been in the scriptures. We've been praying. We've been doing our weekly reading. And, you know, we're growing in the Lord. Amen? Do any of you feel like you're closer to the Lord now than what you were in January? Now let me ask the big question. As you're drawing closer to the Lord, have you felt the attacks come up? Bingo. Don't let it discourage you. New levels, new devils. Hello? Hello? Come on. Right? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. Right? With all your mind, all your soul. Love your neighbors yourself. That's what we've been teaching. That's the vision statements. And if you read Ain and Habakkuk, however you say it. Write it down. Write it down on your heart as you start your mornings. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul. Let me tell you, as you begin to do that, notice where the attacks come. They come in those areas of your life with all your heart. Then the attacks come in the mind. Right? All your soul. Your emotions get played with. Hello? Your heart gets played with. Which way do I go? Which way do I go? I'm like the Wizard of Oz. Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? No, you got to stay right on course. Amen? You can't look to the left. You can't look to the right. You got to look and have your eyes on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How do I know this? Having to do it. The attacks are high right now, because we are drawing near to him, and he is drawing near to us. And there's one that's trying to keep you from drawing near to him. Does it make sense now? Right? You've heard me say by the scriptures, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Any moment you do that, you're going to have one who's trying to pull you away, that's trying to separate you out, trying to attack you, try to come against your character, try to come against who you say you are, come against that daily reading, come against those things. Yep. Amen? Mm-hmm. They are high right now. Brothers and sisters, we need to come together as we're reflecting on Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I started to talk before we went live about counting the cost. And here lately, as we near resurrection, think about the cost of one who died and paid the price that you would never be able to pay. I don't care how much money you donate to save those dogs. I don't care how much you do that. Those are all good deeds and good things, and giving money to charities and helping out people. That's wonderful. But those things will not get you to heaven. Now, I know a lot of people, they already probably started tuning me out already, but that's the Word of God. Sometimes some people have to relearn some things that they think that they can get to heaven by doing this or buying this or building this or doing this for this person. And those are all wonderful, praiseworthy things, but that doesn't give you the key that unlocks the door to get to heaven. You may just find yourself being those ones that say, well, I did this, I did that, I did this. And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. You don't want to be one of those Matthew chapter 7 Christians. But I believe in this day we're living, come on somebody, that there's some people in this county in Warsaw, Indiana, that they think everything's all right and it's not all right. And they get mad at me. And they get hurt. And they're like, well, I've never heard that. I don't believe that. I can't receive that. I had trouble with it too, but I had to get in the Word. I'll come beside you and help you learn if you will just get in church, if you allow me the opportunity. Sometimes it's harder to unlearn things than it is to just learn them in the first place. Right? Especially from people that you trusted, that you thought that they were spot on. Come on. How many of you have been to other churches and been hurt by church? And you trusted in somebody and you felt that they were solid, only to find out that they were a wolf in sheep's clothing. That maybe they were hirelings. And it left a scar. It left a wound. It doesn't leave it here. It's on your heart. Those are the deepest and worst of hurts to conquer. Amen? You see, I know what it's like to be around sheep. That's how I started my calling. I'm not a Bible theologian, scholar, all the different degrees on my wall. I wanted to be around the sheep. That's what I like to do. I would rather be mowing the yard with the sheep, or going out to dinner with the sheep, or cleaning the church with the sheep. You see, that is the heart of the river. That's why I'm here. That's why I was sent here. I do. You believe? Do you believe that?
Amen.
The Bible says that God sets the members, so He set me here for a reason. Mm-hmm. If He sent me here for a reason, He must have set you. And you, and all you. Because He doesn't show partiality. He doesn't show favoritism, the Bible says. So each one of you have a plan and a purpose here for something. So you are somebody. You are needed. You do have a purpose. You do have a plan. There is something in action for you to do, to be a part of, even if it's just to come in and say hi, or maybe your whole purpose of the day was just to bring some sweet tarts and make me a happy camper, or maybe me make somebody else a happy camper, or maybe for you just to sit down and take a breath and have a meal with us, that you would allow the blessing to flow. You know that that's a blessing to us when you allow us to bless you. Or, oh, wait a minute, when I allow you to be a blessing to me. Huh? We've talked about receiving. In this time of reflection, have you received the free gift of God yet? In this time of focus, you know, we do that around Christmas, but what about around the resurrection time? About one who paid the price for you and I, that died on the cross. That's the gospel message. We've all fallen short. We've all need a Savior. Have you confessed with your mouth yet, openly, to anyone around you, to let them know where you're headed? Amen? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't worry, this gets lighter. It's okay. But it's important, because some of you, I haven't heard that. So I'm hoping you're telling somebody. I know by your fruit. But have you confessed it openly? Say, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. I've repented. Look, it's this easy. I've repented. I've turned. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I walk away from the stuff. Yep. The Lord is helping me to get away from that, to get rid of those addictions. I've turned my life to Christ, and I'm going to go His way now. Yeah. Lord, help me. Put me with people that will help me walk this walk, because I can't do it on my own. Yes. Amen. Hello? Amen. When you do that, I know people that would not do that. They've come to church for years, and you don't even hear any confession of faith. You know, that's the worst thing for a preacher to ever hear when you're doing it in their funeral. Well, he was a good person. He did good works. But did he leave a testimony? You see, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the one who paid the price for you and I. Come on, somebody. I'm going to preach you, get you excited. The blood of the Lamb, he died for you. His blood washed you. Remember Peter said, he goes, no, you're not going to wash me. He goes, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. And then Peter gets a revelation. He says, oh, wash all of me. Not just my feet, not just my hands. Wash the whole thing. Listen, are you that believer today that you've not just dabbled in it, that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus? You say, I'm saved. I know I made mistakes. I know I messed up. I know I did stuff. You can write a book on me. But there's been a new chapter written. My family, they got a whole long list of people. My workplace, they got a whole... But the Lord, He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And it created a new chapter in my life, and there can be a new chapter in your life.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, glory be to God. Amen? There's royal blood flowing through your veins. Do you recognize it yet? You've turned from that stuff. When the attacks come and the enemy comes, well, I remember when you did that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, accuser of the brethren. Thank you very much. Needed that encouragement in my day today. I'm trying to walk for Jesus. I'm trying to do things right. Got to keep bringing up the past. Let it go. Right? I'm not up here on the praise team singing, so I won't bore you with that voice. But just, you can think of the song. Maybe my wife can sing it. Let it go. Right? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just get people to let it go?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be just a wonderful way to live your life? Instead of, they got to keep bringing up the junk and putting us down and putting people down and oh, I know when you did this and did that. Right? Come on. You see, you're with encouragers today.
Amen.
You're in a safe place on the Facebook Live. I just wish you get in church so we can help encourage you one-on-one, because there are some that are far apart and they need this word. We have some people down south that can't get here. We have people to the north, people to the west. So there's a cost that Jesus paid for us to be able to say that. Right? You can't say that if you haven't been washed. You can't. All you can do is say, well, I've changed my mind. I'm doing a new thing. Well, the Bible says that when the Lord says He's doing a new thing, that's different. When the Lord's doing a new thing in your life, you can stand before God with confidence. If I take my last breath this afternoon, I can stand here with confidence that know that I've been washed in the blood, I've been redeemed in His blood, that those sins that were once all over me have been wiped new, the page is clear, it's like white as snow in a blizzard this summertime, that those things that were piled against you are now wiped off. Wouldn't you like that? Why would anybody reject that? I know people that come to church, in the past they've come to church, and you'd offer, won't you accept the free gift of God? Won't you accept? And they go away mad. They go away different. They leave the church. And I'm like, why would anybody not accept the Lord knowing that there's things that have been displeasing in His eyes? Because, but the reality is none of us got to that point till we realized it was displeasing, right? Amen. You won't change until you realize that there's one watching you that is displeased with our tongue or our actions or what we're looking at. Can I tell you, I've had to find myself removing myself from certain people bad company corrupts good morals. I've found myself having to pull away from what I look at, because the eyes are what to the soul? The windows. So there's things that I used to look at that I no longer can look at, and there's things now that I didn't think was too big a deal that I look at that I go, I can't look at that stuff anymore. That's not pleasing, because there's a Holy Spirit with me that's saying, no. Do you respond to the Holy Spirit now? Because there's a price. You see, Jesus came, He died, He rose again, He sent the Helper. There's a Helper for you now. Amen? Glory be to God. There's a Helper that's available to you. And I'm already so far off my notes, but praise God. Go with me into Ephesians chapter 5. In hearing all this, you won't have it on the big screen, brother. I just went there myself. Ephesians chapter 5. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, what's it there for? Be imitators of God as dear children. There is something that must change as a child of God. There's a cost to be paid, that Jesus paid that price. But there's a cost, dear children, that we are going to have to decide to separate from certain things and to find ourselves paying a price that we may not have wanted to pay. There's a decision to be made that says, I can't go there anymore. I can't hang out with those people anymore. I'll invite them to Jesus. I'll invite them to church. But there's a price that says, I can't go there anymore. I'm working on being an imitator of God. I'm not God. I'm not El Elyon. I'm not Jehovah Jireh. But I'm born of God. I've been bought with a price. Amen. That there's something that has to change in me. And that's the whole key to repentance, that nobody likes when a preacher starts talking about repentance. But repentance is simply in its nature is to change from that worldly way to living as an imitator of God as dear children. Hello, come on somebody. You going to help me preach a little bit this morning? He says in verse 2, and walk in love. It doesn't say about walking in enablement. Sometimes love has to be confrontational to a point that says, listen, you have a belief that everybody goes to heaven. I can show you in the Word of God that that's not a true statement. And people don't like that. And they're like, oh, well, he was a good person. Praise God he was a good person. But did he give you a testimony in his last breath? The Bible says that he who endures to the end shall be saved. So just because we're saved when we're five, we got a whole lot of living before we take our last breath. We're learning on Sunday nights about the end times and about where you stand. But let me give you a little nugget. All that teaching is the most impressive, wonderful thing. But what happens if the Lord comes back for you before that time happens in the Bible? Jesus said that I go and prepare a place for you, and you don't know how long, how far, how quick your mansion is going to be completed.
That's right.
So guess what? You have to be prepared and ready at all times.
Yep.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I fell the other day and I wondered if I was going home.
Yeah.
Guys, it happened that quick. It wasn't like, you know, I'm 80 and just kind of lose my balance and fall down. No, it was a suddenly moment. You know what I'm talking about? Too many people wait to give their life to Jesus Christ thinking I got all kind of time. Oh, I've heard this out of people's own mouth. They'll get saved when they're ready. The Bible says, as a tree falls, so it is.
Yep.
Guess what? If they weren't ready, if I wasn't ready at the moment that I fell, there is no second chance.
Right.
Hello? I hope this is okay. I, I just feel the Holy Ghost just wanting to just bless and make sure that everything's okay, you see. Because you can go through anything in your life that you're going through. And we're going to get into those scriptures. I got plenty of time. But listen, if you're not saved, if you haven't repented and turned, and you're not sure and have that godly assurance of where you're going, that's a problem. If you got unforgiveness on your heart and you're hanging on to that unforgiveness, that's a salvation issue. Like, man, well, you're kind of on it today. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm only allotted so many breaths on this earth. How am I going to use them? There's a cost that I've signed up for. There's a price that I signed up for that said, if you're going to do this, preach my word. If you're going to do it, count the cost. You're not going to make everybody happy, but you're going to tell them the truth. You may ruffle some people's feathers, but they're going to hear the word of truth. You may get underneath their skin, and they may put stuff all over Facebook about you, and they may make up some video about you, just telling you how much you're out there. But let me tell you, I signed up for this. I thought I considered the cost. I'm not sure I considered the whole cost. Have you? Because you're going to go against some stuff. There's going to be, when it says, and walk in love, there's going to be people that come against you and persecute you. And they're going to say, he's a flake. He's a Bible thumper. He's one of them Jesus freaks. Why can't you just get along with everybody and let everything go and everything's all right, I'm all right? Why can't you just be nice to everybody and be an enabler? It doesn't say about being an enabler. Right? There's a price that you're going to have to decide. Are you willing to pay the price? Because to be a disciple is different than just, I just believe. Being a disciple, being a saint of God, takes a new level that I'm not sure that I was even prepared for. Because in my quiet time in the past week, I've had to separate myself. And what did Pastor say on Wednesday? And I've talked about it, Pastor talked about it. He says, come out and be separate. There's some things that we got to get ready to come out and be separate from. And if you're not willing to count the cost, if you're not willing to pay the price, are you available to do what Jesus wants you to do? Right? Like, well, people are going to, in your family, they're going to turn against you. Happened to anybody? You can invite them for a cookout any day of the week and they would be there. Invite them to church and they've got a dozen excuses why they couldn't come today. You prepared a marriage banquet, whatever you want to call it, a feast. Well, I've got this going on. And this person said, well, I've got that going on today. And I've got some oxen over here I have to take care of. You see, what they don't know is that might have been their only chance to hear the gospel one more time. Are you willing to pay the price to get the gospel out to everybody one more time? What if today was my last week when I fell and I took that last breath? What if that was the last message? You guys have been on here going, oh, there's a pastor's gone. Someone said, well, he wasn't a pastor anyway, so it's no big deal. Someone said, nah, he's not a prophet of God. He's not a man of God. He was a heretic. He was apostate. He was one of those off-the-wall charts. And some may have been having a celebration and said, well, at least he told us that he loved us, and he told us that Jesus loved us, and he painted a roadmap. Amen? I signed up for that. He says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Nobody took his life. He laid it down.
That's right. That's right.
We had to make a choice years ago. And I'm telling you, there's some of those choices I'm still dealing with, guys. Mm-hmm. Don't kid yourself. I'm not going to stand up here all pious and everything like that. The Lord is still dealing with me. Have you considered the cost? Have you counted the cost to discipleship? It can be pretty weighty. He says, given himself for us. That's how much he loved us. He didn't fall down and die. He didn't get shot and die. He didn't get hit by a car and die. He went through a torture on earth, carrying his cross, had his beard pulled out, had the thorns embedded in his head, stabbed, drugged, beat to death, whipped, starved to death. And he did it willingly because he loved each one of you. Isn't that amazing when you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Everybody gets all excited around a different time, but the reality is that he gave himself for you and I. Why should we ever be ashamed? Why should we ever be doubtful? Why would we be ever scared? We ought to be rejoicing in the fact that someone loved us enough to pay that price. I don't know if I can do it. It's all I can do to pay the price that I'm paying right now to serve him the way I need to and be molded on the potter's wheel. Left me up here all by myself on that one, didn't you? You see, because there's a cost to become a disciple that says, I'm going to come out and be separate from the world. Jesus, he paid that price. He loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Have you been reading the Old Testament lately? I hope you have been. Some of it's some pretty tough reading. But it's for a purpose. There's something about when you realize that you're in sin and you need someone to come rescue you. That there has to be atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus paid that price. We don't have to go kill goats and animals and all this every third day and all these heave offerings and all these. There's one who paid the price once and for all, but you got to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ like we would put on a parachute, like you would put on the life preserver in our boat, like you would put on the tallit. Hello?
Come on.
It's got to be on you and wrapped in you and be in you. But if it's something that you can say, well, I can take it or leave it. I can come to church or not come to church. There's no big deal. No. See, there's a cost. When I gave up tournament fishing, there was a cost that I was willing to make. It was tough for months and months. I dealt with this going, come out and be separate. Well, I can minister here. I can minister there. No, they're not getting it. Just come out and be separate. Have them follow you.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I went out to them. Some of them said, man, you lost your mind. Some of the hidden Christians that would secretly come to me said, man, that's pretty bold. Are you hearing me? They're like, you're kind of out there. Yeah. I'm going to count the cost and be a trailblazer. Sometimes you are going to have to be the one that sets the path in your family. Come on, somebody. I'm way off my notes, so I'm just going to go with the Holy Ghost this morning. My wife saw my notes. Pastor saw my notes. We're just going this morning. There's something about counting the cost when you're ready to be a trailblazer for what you're doing. There's going to be a cost. The first one is the toughest. Because you're setting the path for others to follow. Come on. Sometimes that path is tough because they're like, well, I remember what you did here. Nope, I'm on course. I'm on point. I may have to go without here and there. I may have to go without here and that other way. I may have to come under attack here. I may have to get pressure from this side and pressure from that side, but I know that in the end, there's going to be reward for what I'm doing for the Lord.
Amen.
And people don't get it. They're like, now I really know he's fell and hit his head. When he fell the other day, he must have really hit it good, because now I know he's out there in left field, right field, whatever, center field, and he's just preaching it now. It's like, you know what? I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a choice. Account the cost before you start. There's a cost. If I'm going to get up here and preach this word, I got to preach it and speak it, or I got to sit down.
Come on.
There can't be wishy-washy Christianity. I've seen it. It's here. It's in Warsaw. Mm-hmm. But it should not be here at the River. It should be, I've decided for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I had to do that this morning. I had to decide if I was going to be obedient to God or not. I'm like, what are you talking about now? Listen, some of you may have been blessed recently with additional funds this week. What are you going to do with it? It's like, oh, now you're meddling. No, let me just put it on me so that I can help you. There's a decision that had to be made. Say, listen, we were blessed this week. I can be obedient, because I know the word says that if I would tithe and give offerings, and you know that we're not about that here, it's about making a show like I've seen other churches. But it would be unfaithful and disobedient to me to not teach you how to get to the blessings of God's provision. If I didn't teach the truth of the Word of God that enables windows and doors for your life for you to see prosperity. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, D, we're blessed here, we're blessed here. If I don't do this, I said, we're called to do this. And it's like, that's a decent amount of money. Well, we could do a lot with that. Well, yeah, we could. We could. But the Word of God says that we're to give tithes and gives offerings. And I'm sitting here, and it came to me this morning and said, count the cost. Well, I could do it, or I could eat my seed.
Mm-hmm.
Count the cost. You can choose, Corey. I know I'm getting into your stuff now, but that's okay. Because I'm talking about me, and I had to deal with this morning. That's how the word works with me. Sorry. Don't have 18 years of Bible college. I'm sorry. It's just the Lord works on me like this. And he says, count the cost. You can have what's in your hand and reject what I'm about to do. Or you can give up what's in your hand and receive what I'm about to pour out in your life. Count the cost. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? You want to have what's here now, or you want to know that what I'm bringing you is coming forth? Right here. You want to get people messed up? Talk about this. We talked about unlearning things, right? You want to get people mad in the flesh? Sorry, Pastor. If they get mad in the flesh, you'll see a lot more purple seeds. Because that's what they do. They're like, you can talk to anybody about the Word of God until you bring up this. If I ever sat down with you with a 2 to 3 or 4 week course on finances, I would have you so mad you wouldn't even want to talk to me. Amen? Amen?
Or oh my.
Or oh my. Right? But you know what? Jesus didn't think that way. Aren't you glad he didn't? He didn't sit here and go, they're not worth carrying that big heavy cross all by myself. They're not worth all this pain and anguish. They're not worth putting those thorny things. I've seen those similar thorny thing in the woods that we hunt. They're vicious looking things. They're spear looking things, and I've sat in my sanctuary thinking about those pointed things as I'm overlooking the creek of what Jesus bore for us and how they drove the nails in his hands. And we sit here and we get an ouchie of a paper cut or smash our finger with a hammer. And here they drove the nails in his hands. He paid a price for you and I. He didn't sit here and go, "Nah, they're not worthy." He said, "I'll pay the price for them." Aren't you glad for that? What about you? Are you willing to pay a price to see people saved? I hope that this is encouraging you to the point that you think about your walk with the Lord. There's going to be other sections of the Bible that we're going to get into. The Lord this morning, He put it on my heart. He says to go heal the brokenhearted. That you've heard me preach for 20 minutes now, but this morning I had one. I need to make sure you're saved, going to heaven, and if you're ready to make a confession of faith, right here's these altars today. That don't wait another day. You're getting spiritual food today to know that you're getting fed to go. I want to know that you're going to heaven with me. I proclaimed openly that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I messed up. I got it. But yet one paid the price for me. He says, "I will die for him." That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's what your dad taught. I love my Jesus. Awakening that he still ministered to me and Pastor in his sunset days, in his day. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. You can have great confidence knowing I know where he's going. Amen. Praise God for that. Because that, we know the separation is tough. But let me tell you, there's nothing more rewarding. I preach myself dry. There's nothing more rewarding and comforting to someone hurting is to know and be able to say with confidence, we will meet again. Amen. This is not the end. This is only a transition. Praise God. Praise God for that. You need to remember that. If this week would have been my last breath, no. No one wants to hear it. I got it. I know. I know you don't want to hear it. I don't want Pastor going anywhere either. I got a lot more to learn. It's true. Humble yourself before the Lord and He'll exalt you in due time. I'm not everything in a bag of chips. I'll tell you that right up front. I am not ashamed to tell you I don't know the answer. I'll have to get back with you and look it up. I'm not ashamed of that. I would rather do that than to give you some lip service about something that...
Come on.
Hear me? Hear me. I'm not going to give you flowers and all this special stuff. The Lord put it on my heart about being one to heal the brokenhearted. Do you realize the people that you may be ministering to? And I've got a few minutes as I'm transitioning. And go with me into Psalm 147. I won't get through the other 300 verses today, but I can get through these. 5 o'clock this morning. Psalm 147. Are you an encourager? Are you one to help, to support, because you have a great calling? In Psalm 147, verse 1, it starts off the verse. What does it say? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, if you're not praising the Lord, you've got a couple things going on. Either one, you're dealing with hurts, you're dealing with a heavy heart, you're coming under attack, the devil's trying to steal your joy, the devil's trying to steal your praise, or you're not saved at all. Because the devil and his minions don't want to praise the Lord. And if you're saved, born again, maybe it's possible that you're just under oppression and there's someone trying to attack you to keep you from praising the Lord.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello? So don't feel bad. You know you're saved. You know you're born again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Testify. But understand that if you're not wanting to praise the Lord, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yep.
For it is good to sing praises to our God.
Yeah.
Big G. Not little g. There is a little g. And he's the deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that's coming against you, that's trying to keep you from praising. He's the one that's messing with you and messing with your head. He's the one that doesn't want to see you go to church. He's the one that tries to keep you from having you enjoy yourself at church. By the way, he's also the one that when you receive something really good at church is already on your back as you hit the parking lot, trying to steal, kill, and destroy the very things that God's trying to do. And let me tell you, we cannot be like Lot's wife. We cannot be the one that keeps looking back. It's time to go forward and see what the Lord is doing. Hello? Look and see. Taste and see, Pastor said on Wednesday. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Get your eyes on Him and see what's happening around you that the God is trying to do to bless you and magnify His name. Amen?
Amen.
He says, it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Do you know churches that say, just praise Him like this? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on. Come on. You're like, well, now you're really going against the grain. Now, His Word says to praise Him, magnify Him, exalt Him. Don't be ashamed of that.
Amen?
I was so self-conscious of how I sounded and how bad I didn't stay on beat and how off my hands were when I'd clap in the wrong time and I'd mess the drummer up. It happens. The Bible says, amen. It says, make a joyful noise on the Lord. And guess what? I excelled in making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I believe that He received my praise because it was done with a pure heart of wanting to please Him. I don't know all about music. I don't know all about the different chords and all the different things like other people do. I just know that I'm grateful that He paid that price for me.
Amen.
I'm grateful that He didn't turn away. And he sought after the very thing that could save us. He went towards the cross. He didn't deny it. Amen? The Bible says, take up your cross and follow Him. Have you picked it up recently? Is it time to pick up the cross and walk your own walk? Let me tell you, the moment you started to pick it up, it is heavier than you may have realized. He says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. You ever felt like you're not important? He's drawing people together that may have felt disappointment in their life. If you've ever felt disappointment from church, let me tell you, this is a river church. This is a family church. This is a place where we lift up the name of Jesus and we have an expectation that He draws all men unto Himself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He builds up. We're about building up. Is there hard truths? Yes. Are there things that you may have to unlearn? Yes. But it's for your good if you can handle it.
Yep.
If you can plow through it. Sometimes you have to do like this guy that prays and sits here and go, okay, I understand what I think I know. I understand what I've been taught. I see what's in this book. I see all the different examples. I'm going to pray and I'm just going to sit and be a sponge and realign and get this thing organized in my mind and in my heart. I'm trying to give you some secrets. I'm trying to help you because I don't want anybody leaving. I don't want anybody feeling hurt. I want them encouraged. Because I know some people that couldn't handle the truth and they went like that. They wouldn't recognize that there was sin in their life. You're dealing with them every week, guys. You're dealing with people that think they're saved and there's no fruit. The Bible says that by their fruit you will know them. Oh, there you go. You're judging again. No, I told people all the time, I'm a fruit inspector. Do I see fruit of the Holy Ghost in your life? Amen. Do you see fruit in my life? I hope so, but let me tell you, there's probably some days where you're wondering if there was any fruit.
Right. Come on.
Amen?
Come on.
Okay. Look what it says in verse 3. He says, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know the brokenhearted? You know who the brokenhearted? They're hard to pick out. Verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I had an education about that this week. A lot of people can come to church. I can come to church and you not even know a thing. I can come in, put on a face. I can come in, have a cup of coffee with you. I can come in, I can praise the Lord with you. I can even play the drums with you. I can sing. I can eat dinner with you. And you not even know there's something hurting me. A lot of people see the wounds here. You know, have you ever heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt? You can guard against sticks and stones. Somebody can hit you, and, yeah, I can take that one, you know. But sometimes words get in deep. The whispers of the enemy. Family members. And we live with these hurts. And we come in and we go. And we come in and we go. And I realized it this week when I fell. There's not a bruise on me. But if any one of you come up to me and would go like that, I would cringe at the moment the pressure was applied. You can't tell it. I'm preaching just fine, aren't I? I'm walking just fine, aren't I? I'm praising the Lord just fine, but yet I'm dealing with something on the inside that's really hurting me bad. And if there's enough jabs or enough pressure applied to this rib cage, you're going to see me cringe. I wouldn't be able to stand against the pressures of life. The smallest of kid could take me down just like that. A 5-year-old could put me to my knees right now if they knew the secret. Now go with me. Do you think the devil doesn't know the tricks and your weaknesses and the cracks and the things that get inside of here and get inside of here? And it can mess with you. And let me tell you, the Lord heals the broken heart.
Amen.
And He binds up the wounds. And let me tell you, if you come to church today, and if you've ever come to this church, and I didn't recognize it and I didn't see it, I do today. Because I know what it feels like to walk into a place where you don't feel like you have any purpose. I know what it feels like to be hurt by those with the jabs. And the pointedness and the sharpness, the sarcasm, the junk that gets in there, and you're trying to paint a pretty picture, you know, you're like, I got all my stuff on, I'm looking pretty, I'm good, but really inside I'm battling with something bad. And let me tell you, if I can help encourage any of you, when you come to this church, you don't have to do it all in front of us. You don't have to let everybody in this place know, but let me tell you, you do not have to leave the way you came in.
Amen.
The Lord Himself shows up, and you may have came in this morning one way, but I guarantee you, that through the Lord's moving, you're leaving a different way. You don't have to hang on to that stuff. And the Lord can heal those wounds so that when the fiery darts come, you're not sitting there going, ah, ah. And when you're trying to walk for the Lord, you're not, oh, man. You know the thing that's so interesting? I never saw it coming. Jesus was tempted by the devil. We didn't get to it in Luke chapter 4, but it's in my scriptures for today. That the devil came to attack and mess with Jesus. And in the scriptures, when the devil left, there's a point in there about that he's looking for a more opportune time. That's why you got to have your prayer closet. That's why you got to be wrapped in the Word. Amen. And not leave anything open. Amen. But let me tell you, the words of our enemy can get in anywhere on any of us.
That's right. Come on.
And the Lord can heal those wounds. And you don't have to feel like you're a nobody. You don't have to feel like there's something wrong with you. Because let me tell you, I went through my fair share of attacks this week. When I fell, it happened so quickly, I could have hit my head and been gone. I wasn't expecting it to happen. I wasn't expecting the hidden hurt to happen. No person does. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, we want to have this globe effect that nothing's going to harm me, nothing's going to happen. And let me tell you, that's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be here, so that you have somebody who's here. You have someone to come alongside you. Like Brother Luke, he's getting a little more comfortable doing announcements. You can tell that he's ministering a little bit while he's doing more than just announcements. You see? Because there are those around us that we can slip in, and you're not going to know that we're really hurting.
Come on.
You have no idea until I just expose it. You had no idea that I'm up here literally hurting, counting the cost to preach the Word of God. You had no idea. So guess what? There has to be a relationship between you and I. There needs to be a relationship between you and Pastor. If you don't come to me, go to him. If you're hurting, if you feel more comfortable coming to me, come to me. Ladies, if you need to have Sister Niece and Sister Vanessa, and you feel, go to them and find comfort. But don't feel all alone, like the devil separates you, like you're nobody. Find someone that you can talk to.
Amen.
Because God will come in where two or three are gathered in His name. God will come in and He'll bind those wounds. He'll bandage those wounds and He'll help you get through. Don't come in and leave and just going through the motions. Find somebody you feel some, you see what I'm saying? That when you feel this, that you now belong to a church, a family, a believers that says, I know what it's like to have that hidden hurt. I know what it's like to try to deal with bad teaching. I know what it's like to try to deal with condemnation. Come on. Amen. So as we prepare to eat, know that you're eating beside people that have been on a path that know what it's like to. You can't give away what you don't have. And listen, I know what it's like today to have a hidden hurt. I knew it all along spiritually, but now the Lord revealed it to me of how miserable it is to not be able to tell someone when you're going through something. And as the Samaritans, we're on point ready.
Yes. Yeah.
To be one, not to look down on you, not to say, well, see, you're doing this wrong. No. It's not how the game is played. That's not how the teaching is done. That's not how the ministry is done, you see. None of us expect to fall and trip.
Come on.
You're wanting to walk the path. But sometimes it just happens. Man, just like that. and it takes the wind out of you, doesn't it? Take a breath of the Lord. Get around some believers. And then keep on going. I pray today has blessed you. Out of this mouth, I give God praise and glory. And I pray for you that may be watching me to touch your heart, to know that the River family is a place that you can find restoration and healing in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at the River. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.